Welcome back to the roundtable. It's a Thursday morning. We're in Studio A, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. We're a little discombobulated at this moment. We had House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing drafting of articles of impeachment against President Trump just now. The media project just ended. We have people filing in the room, getting set up, putting their headphones on. So while they do that, I'll tell you who we are and what we are doing. This is the roundtable panel. I'm Ray Graff, in for Joe Donahue, and the great panel today, boy, it's the largest panel I've ever seen in this room. We have Chairman of Capital District Latinos Dan Irizarry here. We have Corporate Attorney Rich Honan here, Publisher Emeritus of the Daily Freeman Ira Fussfeld, and also Rosemary Armeo, investigative journalist, just got done with a media project. We have Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics Vera Akarius-Kelly. Also, WAMC's Alan Shartok, and I guess you guys who are doing the media project didn't hear it.
No, that's right.
Fill us in.
If there's any possibility of your sort of giving us the salient points because we were on the media project, that would be great.
I'm going to get the text. The folks in the newsroom will be getting the text shortly, and I will be able to read it. It was a fairly brief statement, basically reiterating the points we have heard for the last several days, that it's a solemn duty and they're going to proceed with articles of impeachment. And we'll have the text for you in a moment. I don't think anybody in the room is all that surprised by this, right?
No.
Well, no, but one of the crucial things,
I'm not sure why she need to make an announcement.
Well, crucial things here is that we're looking at the way that this spaghetti is being made. Rich, back to your question just now, the reason she's making an announcement is the same reason Trump goes and, you know, starts talking, because there's the public opinion which you want to harness.
Rich Honan.
Okay, I don't think I understand that. I don't think that it's a heck of a surprise. Isn't this the next step of what they're going to do anyway?
Yeah, except it publicly clarifies, perhaps, for the population that that's the next step. I mean, one of the issues was process and clarity, transparency. I think she's, you know, announcing the next step.
Okay.
Well, I'm not, this is not an original thought, which is no surprise to anybody, but I heard.
Characteristically.
Yes, characteristically. And I'm not sure whether I heard it here or on any of the number of talking heads you hear on cable, but the prevailing wisdom, and I like it, is everybody knows where this is going. The House is going to impeach, the Senate is going to acquit, and then the real jury is the public, and then the jury will make its decision on election
day. And the historians.
Yeah, well, but the jury is the people who are going to vote.
Right.
And so that everything that is being said right now, except for those small number of people who feel they have to talk to that audience of one in the White House, everything else is being aimed at the voters, and they're trying to convince people that they're on the side of the gods, and that even though Trump may be acquitted in the Senate, he does not deserve to be in office, in my mind and in mind of many. And that's the people that were that are trying to be convinced, particularly the independents who may have voted for Trump the first time. Stunning.
Wow. Mm. A stunning silence, especially from Vera and Rosemary. What's going on?
Well, that's because Ira is right. He's right on the money. And we have the 90% of the Republicans who are standing by their person. It could be a country song of some kind. And then we also have, the Democrats. And the big issue here are the purples, the people in the middle, people like Rich Honan.
I agree. And I think you guys have pointed this out before. You know, there's two camps, and I don't know. I don't think anybody in any of the camps are moving. To me, I think that the danger is that the community of Republicans and the community of conservatives, which are not identical but are clearly largely overlapping communities, the danger is that they coalesce more in favor of, I don't want to say in favor of Trump, but kind of against this process, maybe more coalesced than they were certainly when he was elected. And then, so that's one danger. And then the other danger, obviously, is to the extent that bleeds into the more conservative side of the independent community. And That's always been the question, right, Rosemary? The backlash.
Amazingly, we are in agreement, Rich.
We agree a lot.
I think the Democrats have done a terrible job at exactly this, messaging to the people that they should be getting. We're doing the same thing that Trump is. We're only speaking to our base. Turley, Jonathan Turley, the one lawyer who was brought in by the Republicans yesterday, made an amazingly effective appeal for slow it down. What's the big rush? Why can't you make it as ironclad as Nancy has said she would? And today she comes back and rushes it. It's the Republicans picked someone who was not a Trump supporter, and he made cogent arguments on the basis of his research. What did the Democrats do? They picked the three most liberal law professors in possibly the world who have all contributed money a lot to Hillary. They were snarky. They were fabulous. But it was like being in this room. They were talking to each other, not to the purples, not to the people who are saying, wait, why aren't we giving him a chance?
Hey, Rosemary, isn't there such a thing as right and wrong? This president is wrong. I mean,
we Democrats are taking the high road. This is the Michelle Obama high road. Oh, yes, moral principles and all this. I'm talking about reaching out to people that Rich was just talking about
That's what Nancy Pelosi was doing this morning. I think that's exactly what
she was
doing.
You didn't even hear her, Alan. Sorry.
Vera.
No,
okay,
I wanted to say
two things. Number one, all four law professors are some of the highly ranked, most well-published, most deeply respected law scholars in this country.
Take that,
and
Rosemary.
They were not chosen.
Vera,
for their...
there are conservatives who are just as highly ranked who don't think that Trump is right.
Let's let Vera continue.
In addition to that, I don't think that the hearings so far have been rushed. What has been happening, however, is that the White House has chosen not to allow certain members of the administration to participate in the hearings. So we have to keep that in mind. Perhaps one of the most interesting and perhaps for the general public least understandable issue is obstruction of Congress. And that is a serious offense. And that is something that perhaps the public is not fully following.
Can I just ask Vera a question? Vera, you're a comparative politics person. You understand international relations. How does this stack up against other societies, other countries, other legal systems?
Well, what we saw yesterday is perhaps something that's more familiar in many European democracies, where you have scholars speak on particular issues of the structure of the system. So while we in the United States are used to performance art in many hearings, that is not something that is as common in a variety of European systems, except for, of course, the Brits are following our model right now. They're also into performance art at the moment. But many of the scholarly hearings are about removing or questioning the right or the issue of if a parliamentary leader, for example, represents the will of the people and the will of a party. So you have not impeachment hearings, which are based on bribery or criminal offenses, whereas, you know, in European systems, you can get removed for no longer representing the ideas of the party or of the majority of the political structure.
And while you're up, Vera, there is this other question that I had since, and I've been thinking about you ever since we heard those four leaders discussing Trump and his behavior the other day. What do you make of that?
The behavior?
Don't you remember the
four talking about at the NATO summit?
Oh, the NATO summit. Yeah. I mean, I just
hot mic. Maybe. Hot mic, maybe.
I mean, honestly, what I think overall is that when you look at the group of leaders that were talking about Trump, this is what happens constantly. And everyone basically is amused by the fact that Macron, for once, is using a Trumpian style to undermine, Trump's ability to sort of disrupt the system. Now, others have followed that same approach, and it works very well.
Is he right to do that? I mean,
of course he's right.
What's the impetus? The impetus is not only right and wrong, but it also has to do with what the French population are thinking about him. Is he chicken, or are they cheering him on?
Well, I mean, Macron has his own set of problems. There are obviously protests against his plan for, you know, pension reforms and all kinds of socioeconomic issues. But in general, people find Trump exceedingly disrespectful and rude, and they like the pushback. This kind of pushback happens all the time. Trump is exceptionally unpopular among all the Europeans. Even Boris Johnson doesn't want anything to do with him. He wants him to stay away from British elections.
Well, now we've skipped ahead and blasted through half the topics for the show.
Well, okay.
20 minutes in. Thank you all for that. Rich Honan, did you happen to see any of the testimony yesterday?
Yeah, I saw a little of it. I did not see it live. I saw what was kind of rebroadcast on. I tried to give equal time to CNN and Fox News. I thought the same thing pretty much that everybody else thought. You know, I thought that it's a bunch of people giving their opinions on something that I don't particularly need their opinion on. I didn't, with the exception of Turley, I don't think anybody really got into the facts of the case. I think if you had asked anybody on this panel pre-Trump, what does impeachment mean? Everybody would have said impeachment is when somebody commits a crime and you have to remove them from their federal office before you can undertake criminal proceedings against them. And they're trying to shift that to if somebody abuses their office. It's never been used that way before, and I don't think it's going to be effectively used that way now.
Can I just point out, Rich, that when legal scholars articulate a position that is not an opinion, opinion is something that you and I might have because we're not experts in the field as legal scholars on the constitutional law. It does not mean an opinion is an opinion is an opinion. These people are highly trained. They have published numerous articles and books on specifically those issues. All four had very interesting observations to make based on their extensive studies. So it's not an opinion.
In fact, that's as incorrect as it can be because everything having to do with legal scholarship is, in fact, an opinion.
It's a legal opinion based on research. It's not an opinion. So please clarify that.
I will.
Let's let each other finish, and then we can have clarification.
It starts with the opinions on the Constitution that were enunciated in the Federalist Papers, and then it goes to opinions of the Supreme Court. It goes to opinions of lower courts judges. Everything about legal scholarship is, in fact, opinion, and that's what they were rendering. And you could agree with it or disagree with it, but I don't think it's fact.
Okay, can I just say one last thing?
Yeah,
there's a difference between legal opinion and opinion. The way you were using the word opinion in your opening statement was deeply misleading to the general audience because it is not that it is an opinion for somebody who is a legal scholar to sit and give testimony. What that is a legal opinion. It is not an opinion when somebody who is chosen from a background that is unrelated to legal scholarship who gives an opinion. So let's not mislead the general public on what a legal opinion is versus a general opinion.
Can I break in here for a moment and say hi to Dan Irizarry, who has been very silent, chairman of Capital District Latinos. Hello, Dan. How have you been?
Hey. So how nice are you? By the way, I'm changing my name officially to Viscount Mordant.
Oh, I like it. Oh, I like it very
much. Because it's such a wonderful name. I can't. Either that or I'm going to start a rap career with that as my.
That's pretty good, man. That's cool. Pretty good. Did you catch any of the hearings yesterday?
Well, as luck would have it, if you want to call it that, I was on my way to Connecticut to pick up my son, and I had nothing but time to listen to the entirety of the NPR coverage.
That's what I listened to.
And it was very boring in some parts, but very enlightening in others. Except, Joe. I'm sorry.
Ray.
You're not Joe. Ray.
You know, I don't, the other guy. You can call me Christina at this
hologram,
point. I really don't even care.
His hologram seems to be
just don't call
your
him
chair.
Alan.
I apologize. Here's my take on it in part. I keep looking at it from a community organizer point of view. And what I see is we have a very principled group of people who are trying their best to adhere to the tenets of Madisonian democracy on a very high level, right? This conversation is taking place. On the other side of the world are the people who are in their day-to-day functions trying to make ends meet, shopping at the dollar store, looking at what it is they're going to do for Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever the holiday might be. And this conversation is taking place above their heads. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way, but they're just not focused on it. So impeachment and the Democrats, for them, it was always a gambit, right? We're late in the year. We're looking at, as what's his name, Doug Collins, I think. Was it Doug Collins?
Yeah.
Who said the clock in the calendar.
He's the basketball guy.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Say representative, you'll be right.
Right. Yeah. The minority.
I thought it was Doug Collins.
The guy Southern drawl. But
yeah.
Anyway, clock and calendar, right? So he made a point because we are looking at elections and people are saying, we're not that high-minded. Let this play out in 2020 as it should. And, by the way, there was an interesting piece recently on the amount of fundraising that the Republicans are doing on impeachment.
Well, the publisher of the Berkshire Eagle wrote a signed opinion piece, I think it was yesterday or the day before, in which he talked about the need to have not have an expedited impeachment. Nancy Pelosi says move ahead. A lot of Democrats thinking that what Trump is up to is to stall. And get it close to the election, make that argument. And the people around him who are on those committees seem to be mirroring that, despite the fact that he says he wants his trial and he wants to be there. But then again, we know he's a liar. We don't know whether he really means that. But there is a question in many people's minds as to whether we're moving too fast.
All right, we have to take a break here. And that was a fast first portion of the show. There's much more arguing to be done. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling round two between Rich and Vera is just ahead.
Oh, boy.
This is the roundtable panel. Rosemary Armeo is here, Vera Akarius-Kelly, Ira Fussfeld, Dan Irizarry, Rich Honan, Alan Shartok, and you. And the email address is panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. We'll take a break for news and be back. That's the Boxcar Lilies, and they will be playing at the Iron Horse Music Hall in Northampton, Massachusetts tomorrow. It's the roundtable panel. It's a big room. They're banging into microphones. You know, it's like that Marx Brothers movie where they're all in the little room on the ship and the guy opens the door and everybody falls out. That's what Studio A is right now. It's a big panel. Dan Irizarry is here. Rich Honan, Ira Fussfeld. Vera and Ira walk into a bar. Vera Akarius-Kelly is here. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok. You can join us at panel@wamc.org. Before we get to some letters or emails, depending on if you're Jim Handler or not, Rich Honan wanted to follow up with Dan on a point.
Yeah, I had a question for Dan because Dan was saying that, you know, there's this high-minded debate going on, you know, on TV, and then there's the kind of the day-to-day thoughts of people, you know, who will be voting. And so my question to you is, do you think that has any bearing on what Rosemary and I were talking about? Do you think there'll be a backlash, or do you think it'll just be kind of noise that just goes unheard?
Well, I'll back up a little bit on that. I think it's important to educate the population. So I think that is what a very crucial part of what is going on is that the Democrats are saying, look, this is about the Constitution, everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I applaud that, and I think that is an integral part and something that should go on. However, it's happening at a high level, and I'm not trying to denigrate the everyday people who go about their lives, but that's a problem because people are not tuning in, and this discussion is going on, and the clock is ticking, and the Democrats have not yet coalesced around a candidate. So what I think could happen is that the Democrats are going to be stumbling into their convention while the Republicans are walking in lockstep, and it's going to be, you know, like some assault on an unsuspecting group.
I see
with
a
very organized Republican cadre that's just going to run us over or run the Democrats over.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm...
You got your answer there?
Yeah, I did.
If you're just tuning into the program, right at the top of the hour, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked the House of Representatives to begin drafting impeachment articles against President Trump, pushing ahead with a rapid timetable that could set the stage for what might be a deeply partisan vote before Christmas to charge him with high crimes and misdemeanors. Pelosi said, quote, "The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security." She goes on, "His wrongdoing strikes at the very heart of our Constitution. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I'm asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment." And we have much more to talk about here, or as the NPR folks say, you know, drill down, unpack, whatever the latest term is, whatever.
Ray, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Or I'm gonna mess. Does anybody cross lines on this vote?
I think several people.
A couple of Democrats might.
A couple of Democrats.
And a couple of Republicans in the Senate might.
Just in the House.
In the House, yeah, I think a couple of Democrats might.
But Alan, what do you think?
Yeah, they may let a couple of people off the hook, as we say in politics, who are threatened with. Our Utica representative is a perfectly good example, right? So if they've got a couple of extra votes to spare and they can preserve their majority by letting some people off the hook, they'll do it.
Dan?
I just keep, my gut keeps feeling like as the clock ticks forward, again, there's a gambit. The Democrats have decided that this is the way that they're going to play it. And I don't want to demean all of the import that this has, but what is going to happen with the polls? Is it going to move anything?
Right.
Is it going to jump to 51?
It's not a gamble. It's a gamble.
Here's a point, though, on the polls. We've never had numbers that show this much support for getting rid of a president.
Absolutely.
So we keep saying, oh, it hasn't moved. Oh, it's at 50-50. The other impeachments were much, much lower in favor of impeachment, and it moved ahead. So that's something the news media has. We keep emphasizing, I think, the wrong thing, which is that they haven't moved.
Part of the reason why that's happened is because we've already baked in what kind of scoundrel occupies the Oval Office. And that has been a victory on the part of the Republicans because they so desensitized us as consumers of news and as observers of the spectacle that we no longer feel as a country that it's that bad.
Well, here's another thing that I want to hear Rich talk about this too. I think that...
Me neither.
We're not taking advantage of the way the Republicans are of what weapons that we have. So that, yesterday, to me, that whole thing, I found it fascinating, and I actually apologized for saying on the radio yesterday that, oh, this is going to be a snooze fest. It was a great history lesson. It was really fascinating if you sat and listened, and I did. Through the whole hours of it.
I would ask Dan, is there not a difference between right and wrong?
Alan, I knew I should have rephrased my comments because I could hear you sharpening your tools there.
What I meant
to say was that a part of the population has accepted, right? We know that the Republican base, which is at 94% of support for the president or somewhere along those lines, they've already decided, he came to Washington to, stir things up. They didn't finish the sentence, though, because he came to Washington to destroy norms and crush institutions and destroy the social safety net, ergo the 700,000 people who might
have been another topic.
I know.
And I cede my time to Rosemary so she can
finish
her
point. No, I've forgotten.
Okay, but I wanted to also say something. It's not only about impeachment. It is also, that story's baked in about the scoundrel in the White House, right? But think about the reemergence of the topic. Trump tries to redirect sometimes, and now we're talking about new economic sanctions. We notice that tomorrow the numbers will come out for employment records. We already heard earlier that the private sectors, private industries hiring less. The job market continues to soften. Those are things that will have an impact and may actually shift.
It's wishful thinking, Vera.
I think we've seen that already when you go look at farm votes. There are a lot of communities that are softening up on sort of this idea of being Trump the disruptor. Yes, they liked that idea originally, but now he doesn't seem to replace it with anything that actually helps certain communities.
What softening do you see?
So, for example, when you look at, again, I spent some time in Minnesota. You know, there are farm communities that feel abandoned and not supported by this president. They felt enthusiastic initially. Now they don't know what their future soy markets look like in terms of the income that they were counting on. They're more dependent on aid to get bailed out. We have higher rates of mental health issues among certain communities that are not addressed. There are many issues
but
where
no,
families...
no indication that they're switching to a Democrat or to anybody
well, but
else.
But isn't Minnesota a liberal state?
I mean, that's a state of
Al Franken and Hubert
Humphrey.
No,
you don't understand Minnesota. You're talking about Minneapolis and Paul inner city. There's a whole countryside which is deeply conservative.
But they've elected Democrat liberals on a statewide basis. What was the Paul,
yes.
the guy who pre, the one who was killed in the airplane crash?
Yeah.
Paul
Wellstone, you mean?
Paul Wellstone.
But
yeah.
I mean, if you look at a lot of these states, there was a strong support for Trump among farm communities, in particular among mining communities. We know that we have deep problems that are not being addressed in states like West Virginia, mining communities. Where is the revival of mining?
And that, you know, you're absolutely right about all those things. And I was thinking about a report that came out recently in the New York Times about mortality rates among people, I think it's 21 to 45, mm-hmm. and how those, the states that are feeling the greatest impact of I forget what they categorize those deaths at, which is basically around addiction, mm-hmm. alcoholism, suicide.
Yep. Right.
The overlay of those states on the states that Trump won electorally is stunning.
It is.
In other words, those states where he won the enough votes to win mm-hmm. are suffering desperately, losing people to suicide, opioid addiction,
correct,
unemployment. All of those things. So that is an important factor. But guess what? We're not talking about, I mean, we're talking about that here, but we're not talking about that as a nation.
All right, we have to take a quick break here. The email address is panel@wamc.org. The president tweeted this morning, if you're going to impeach me, do it now. Do it fast so we can have a fair trial in the Senate. I'll tell you one thing. Prediction, that Senate trial will be must-see TV or listen if you happen to be listening to the radio. Let's take a break. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, Vera Akarias-Kelly, Ira Fussfeld. We call him Ira. Rich Honan, Dan Irizarry. We'll be back.
Once there was a man with lightning in his hand, made the sweetest sound your ears have ever heard, boys. Lightning catches fire.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:45. I love it on days like this. The panel is in discussion groups during the break. They are raring to go, and we are raring to hear from you, the listener. The email address is panel@wamc.org.
Can I ask Rich a question?
Oh,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
no,
ahead.
You want to do the mail?
Yes.
Okay.
Will you yield back your time?
I yield back. I've second yield of the day.
See, I like putting off the mail because it's always, it never goes well
Rich?
For me.
Yeah. That Honan, what a jerk. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to that in a moment. This one is from John in Valley Falls. The Democrats, I am sure, botched this. One made a joke using Trump's kid and who has given thousands to Obama, Clinton, and Warren, and the others have written op-ed pieces denouncing Trump. The GOP brings in Turley, who is highly respected in the field. He was the one who appeared nonpartisan. Pelosi or Nadler were incompetent on this one. Forget DiMaggio. Where have you gone, Peter Rodino? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you.
Nice.
And that's from John.
All I can say is Turley brought
and
in his
Sam
golden
Irvin.
Doodle. That wasn't exactly a highlight either.
And an irritated golden doodle,
yes.
I might add.
Why did they, I mean, they're not, I mean, you can say what you want. I disagree with everything they're doing, but, I mean, they're not dumb people. Why did they not go a little bit more out of their way
yes.
to get less, at least people who appeared less partisan?
Exactly.
I mean, there's lots of experts. I know, you know, there's you can pick who you want, but why did they not try and make that at least a show of a little bit lack of partisanship.
It was, again, I keep talking about this. They do the Democrats are not acting for a wider audience. And you're right. There are conservatives who think that Trump is wrong and should be impeached.
Very much.
Why do we hear from the most liberal, most anti-Trump people with contributions that are easily shown, and they're snarky on top of it? I mean, I think the woman was brilliant, but that does not play in this audience where you're talking about Barron and making snippy comments about about her giving. It just did not work at all.
Hey, Alan, you're the political scientist, and I was listening to this yesterday, and I thought I have to ask Alan about this. More than one Republican House member made mention of the fact that Nadler and Pelosi have made statements saying, you know, impeachment cannot be seen as a strictly one-party event. It has to be bipartisan or we shouldn't do it. Now, several GOP House members made that comment directly to Nadler. What do you think about that, sir?
Well, if you look at the history of what everybody has said in the past, you would be seeing a grand study in hypocrisy.
Ah.
People have changed their opinions or have modified their opinions based on where we are in this historical context. To me, we have a corrupt president of the United States, and that has changed the rules of decorum. I think it's that simple. I know that you're impartial, Ray,
was a simple one.
Yeah.
What do you make of the House GOP members making that point to Pelosi and to Nadler, who did say those very things? Should it be a bipartisan event?
And
if it's strictly along party lines, is that a good plan? That's
no.
My question, sir.
Well, no, obviously. You take a look at Graham and what he has said in the past about Donald Trump. It's extraordinary. We would be better off with a nonpartisan approach to this. However, and we saw it in the Nixon trial. Of course, we had the tapes back in those days. So this is rigid. But there are those Democrats. I'm a registered independent, but I have to say, my view of it is that this is the kind of thing that is the differentiation between right and wrong. I think there is a right and wrong. I think the president has betrayed the Constitution and is leading this country into fascism. So I'm not surprised that people are taking very rigid stances on this.
Anybody else?
The problem is that you're coming from a place of principle, and you're attacking the most unprincipled president that this nation has ever seen. Mm-hmm. So tell me how that's going to work out. I don't think
the unprincipled guy wins
right.
Every time.
And because their message is honed to a fare thee well, and they keep hitting the same notes. And the victimology here is stunning. So no matter what happens, Trump gets to say, poor me. They're trying to do it to me. They're trying to take. They're trying to reverse the elections of 2016.
But do the Republicans in the room, represented by Rich,
conservative.
Do you believe that the Republicans who are critical of this impeachment process and of this case really believe it? That they have no case. That this should not be an impeachment case, or are they just doing as what we've playing to the audience of one, and they're scared of their base? If it's the latter, mm-hmm. I would suggest, and it's a pie in the sky, Pollyannish, where is the leadership of the, if all of the Republicans really privately say, this Trump is a bad guy, and he's done all of these things, couldn't they collectively and individually and collectively speak out to that effect, say, and try to convince, as leaders, the people in the base, we got on the wrong horse?
Well, I think if they felt that way, yes, they could. And I do think, like a Lindsey Graham or a Mitt Romney, for example, and I'm not necessarily calling Romney a leader in the Senate, but he has some gravitas on the popular side. I think if they felt that way, they could exercise that leadership. My takeaway from this is I feel like, and I agree with them, that this is so far from an impeachable offense.
So you don't think it's impeachable?
No, not even close. I think that I'm sure that every one of them cringed when they heard about it, and I'm sure they thought it was a conversation they did not, that somebody shouldn't have. But what I was saying before is, up until a couple of years ago, impeachment was kind of supposed to be reserved for, you know, true crimes. And I do think there are some people. Look, Trump doesn't have a huge amount of following among, you know, the rank and the establishment Republicans. I think if they really felt he had done something truly impeachable, like with Nixon, for example,
but not necessarily with Clinton. I mean, well, you got a little hey in the Oval Office. Is that impeachable?
No. What he was impeached for was lying under oath. With Clinton, right? Clinton was lying under oath. It wasn't necessarily, you know, the acts that led to that. And I think there was another one that wasn't going anywhere. Mm. The answer to your question, Ira, is yeah, I believe that they truly think that while this was maybe a dumb thing to do, or they don't like it, or they don't like the guy, and I'm sure a lot of them don't like the guy, it doesn't come close. It's not colorable to something that is impeachable in the traditional sense that we always used to think of impeachment before this president.
Because they haven't proved it, or you believe? I mean, the act of him soliciting help to bury an opponent to another country, do you believe that act in of itself is not impeachable, or is that just they just haven't proved it, that he's done that?
Well, first of all, I disagree with your assumption. I think what he asked was for an investigation of a truly improper set of circumstances that I'm sorry that it involved one of the people who happens to be the front runner for the Democratic nomination, but it
by accident.
That was checked by reporters. It just doesn't exist. So there are rules that allow.
What doesn't exist?
No.
Improper use of Hunter Biden.
No. I'm not at all saying that, and I don't want to get into the. We can get in the weeds on this. I'm not saying Joe Biden committed a crime. I'm not saying that. I don't think anybody's alleged that. But if you're thinking that Trump's request for an investigation was improper, how can I not come back to you and say, wasn't the act itself an act that deserves some investigation? Wait. Every time Hunter Biden went on a trip with his dad, he came back with more money.
But that's not his dad... charge. Rich, that's not the charge. He withheld money that Congress had allocated to that country. He held it up.
First of all, that's
we have not gotten to the bottom of that, right? Because he won't let anyone testify.
We have, because one, the money ended up going, and two, the president.
The day after it came out,
the president of Ukraine said that he never felt that before.
The baby president.
All right, one at a time.
Okay, now we have a mafia deal. That's exactly what Bolton is talking about, namely intimidating the president of a small, exceedingly dependent country on military aid, trying to defend itself against Russia. And they are truly desperate to get assistance. And that's one of our allies. Now, the most dangerous thing that I see is messing up decades of international alliances. And that's part of the disruptor sort of idea, but it is so dangerous. And one of the other things that I think Democrats are deeply, and independents and a variety of other people are deeply worried about is that President Trump called, for example, on Russia to release information to him on dirt of the opposition. We know that numerous corrupt international leaders have spent enormous amounts of money on the political system. All of that is deeply troubling, the international involvement in our domestic electoral process.
And you're not troubled at all by, and again, I don't care about the allegations. I don't care about the underlying Biden allegations. I really don't. But you're not troubled at all by the fact that Biden, who had control of certain areas of policy, goes somewhere and comes back with a family member enormously enriched in those areas of policy. You don't even think that's worth a question, an investigation, an inquiry, nothing?
So my question to you is, why does a U.S. president, hold back aid in Ukraine? Then we know in Lebanon. Then we know all kinds of personal relationship to benefit himself. That is deeply disturbing. There are many deeply disturbing things about the United States in terms of money in its system, and that in general needs to be cleaned up.
If you're just tuning in, it's the Vera and Rich Show, and they've been
where
arguing.
Have you been?
It's Vera and Rich's world. We're just lucky to be in it. Alan is sort of the Joey Bishop of this rat pack. Alan, what do you have to say?
I have very little to say.
What? Hang on. This is breaking news.
I have very little to say. You know my opinion. I think this president is contemptible. I think he has created crimes. I think Nancy Pelosi is on the right track here. And I think the House of Representatives is following their constitutional duty. And I think it's probable that there will not be a conviction, but I don't care. I think the historians are noting all of this, and I think the history books, assuming he's out of there, will reflect it.
Do you think Rosemary Shirley MacLaine?
Maybe. Angie Dickinson.
Scenario? Okay.
Now, do you think the Republicans on the panel hurt or helped their cause when Nadler begins the presentation yesterday and they immediately start trying to jump in with parliamentary business?
I agree. I think that's silly. Yeah, I just think it's silly.
The base probably likes it. They'll probably say, go get him. Go get him.
But the thing is, does the base watch? Everybody's already decided, right? This is like this elite sort of circle that watches. Watches this and pays close attention.
Well, they care about other things. The networks may not be brilliant, but they're not stupid, and they're not only airing this on the cable outlets that they own, but they're putting them on all the broadcasts. So that's millions of dollars in advertising that they're foregoing.
But in other words, they must think somebody's watching. Anybody changed their minds?
All right, can we take a break or something? All right, that'd be good. Hey, it's the Roundtable panel. This is a lot of fun. You know it's an exciting day when we got through exactly one email and the conversation continued.
But Rosemary and I are reading them all.
We'll try to get through to another few emails after we take a break for news. Dan Irizarry's here, Rich Honan, Ira Fussfeld, Vera Acurious-Kelly, Rosemary Romeo, Alan Shartok, Ray Graff here, and we'll break for news. We'll be back. That's the Boxcar Lilies. They'll be at the Iron Horse in Northampton tomorrow. It's the Roundtable. Ray Graff here, 10:06 on a Thursday morning. It's the Roundtable panel, the largest Roundtable panel I've ever seen, and the mouthiest. Dan Irizarry is here, Rich Honan, Ira Fussfeld, Vera Acurious-Kelly, Rosemary Romeo, Alan Shartok. It's been a cracking good hour. You can tell because people talked for 20 minutes about one email. Now, I've got a stack of emails here. Let's blast through them. Cursory comments, just keep them pithy afterwards. Ready? Here we go. And I wasn't just looking at you, Vera.
I was going to say, I'm taking this personally.
I know, everybody, including you, Ira.
Okay.
Wake up.
I was going to interrupt you now. Go ahead.
This is from Brucey. Good morning, panel. Pelosi effectively communicated the gravity of the moment, linking the concerns of the nation's founders with the actions and abuses of President Trump. We all need to be reminded of what's at stake and why it's important to not lightly turn away from Trump's abuses and unfitness. And that's from Bruce.
Hear, hear.
That was brief. Justin writes, the Dems completely screwed up yesterday. I wonder if they all have any self-awareness. The Dem witnesses were great, but they could barely interview Turley, who was on the verge of agreeing with them. The fact they avoided Turley seemed like they were avoiding something. Over and over, they asked the three Democratic witnesses questions, skipping Turley. It was a bit bizarre.
I agree with that.
I heard they had 1 minute of questioning. One of the questioners had 45 minutes and used one on Turley or something like that.
No, they did not want to talk to him. And the Republicans took the point of view of getting a lawyer who agreed with them but was not of them. And the Democrats did the opposite. They got three of the biggest liberals, anywhere in the world. And
What do you mean, anywhere in the world?
You know how to measure that?
Yeah, exactly.
I defy you to find me some evidence on that.
I would buy Rosemary's opinion on that.
I
agree with Rosemary.
I was going to say
opinion, no data. However,
I actually know one of them. He was an expert on the Constitution in Tunisia when it was appointed, and I was the guy from Harvard. And I thought it was great that
Harvard. That's why you have the data on showing that they're the most liberal in the world. I see that.
Easy now, because if we start asking for data from our panelists, it's going to be a short program. Alan,
MSNBC has no problem finding conservative lawyers who disagree with what Trump's doing. Congress did. And that's my point.
Alan, you voiced disapproval of what Rosemary was saying, oddly enough. What do you have to say?
No, actually, I think Rosemary is at least half right.
Oh.
In other words, I think that the Republican choice of their guy was the right thing to do.
Yep.
But you have to keep your eye on the ball. What was he doing there? His job was to mouth what the Republicans, for the most part, and a couple of publishers and others in the Berkshire Eagle are saying, which is to slow it down. That's what they want. They want it slowed down. So they found themselves somebody that was smart, who has good credentials, who didn't vote for Trump, but who in the long run is mouthing their opinion that they need. They want it slowed down.
Why do they want it slowed down? The end result is written in almost stone. He's going to be acquitted. So why wouldn't he want that to drag on through the campaign when he can keep referring to it?
Well, my dear friend Ira, the answer to that one is fairly simple. They don't want him impeached. And they think if they can draw it out and keep it going close to the election, then they can say this is all a Democratic trick and the rest of it. That's why.
You know, we've read two emails here, and neither one has been bashing Rich. And frankly, I'm a little disappointed in our listeners.
This is my whole strategy. I'm trying to filibuster this.
Slow it down.
The email address is panel@wamc.org. Put in the subject heading, Rich is a jerk.
God, what is that?
This is one.
I get 100 of those a day just from my partners.
This is from Mike in Saratoga. Subject heading, Rich argument on impeachment. Okay, here we go. Rich argues someone has to commit a crime in which he/she should be removed from office as the impeachment test. What about Bill Clinton? He lied about a sexual tryst. Is not attempted robbery a crime? Trump had committed the crime of attempted bribery or attempted extortion as president of the U.S. What more do you need? And that's from Mike. Rich, you get 12 seconds.
Well, I think that's to Dan's point. I think that if you could say in a short, concise way, here's what he did, here's what the crime was, I think they'd have a stronger case. I think there's been some difficulty in articulating that.
False equivalency. You have a number of people in public office who are philanderers, and they voted, good to say this is no big thing, but this is undermining the Constitution of the United States. It's leading us into fascism, into tyranny, into a dictatorship, and that is why this is so important.
Well, is that we've been desensitized. This onslaught, ever since the campaign for presidency, the 2016 campaign, we've gone through a succession, a cascading amount of information about how unfit this president was before he was elected. And somehow, many of the people in the nation became inured to all that. It didn't matter, and they still voted for him.
Well, maybe that's because none of it manifested itself from a policy standpoint. When you look at, the legislative, there have been a few legislative, I'll call them achievements, but there have only been a few legislative things that went on. You know, there's a tax thing, and you could argue about that, but that wasn't a sign of dictatorship. You know what I mean?
No.
What I'm saying is it would help your case if you could show the policy manifestation of the alleged unfitness in office, and I don't think that's been shown yet.
You know, we made a brief reference on the Media Project about Trump being fined, what was it, Rosemary, $2 million for money, misusing money that was donated to his foundation. Mm-hmm. That story was about 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. That's a story that under normal circumstances, to Dan's point, would have been dominating the news for months and maybe even called for his, just in and of that of itself, misusing money donated to your foundation. Doesn't sound like I want a president of the United States to be doing that. So there.
Okay.
So we're inured to it. We don't.
And the fact that family members are in the administration and continue to be not passing security clearances and continue to be unvetted, for example, that would have been a big story in the past.
Yeah.
That one's just too easy. I'm just going to let that one go.
Oh, no, feel free. No, I got time. We have to fill quite a bit of time here. Go ahead.
Are we really going to talk about family members getting perks while you're in office? I mean,
is that
the argument?
Perks. It's not perks.
Is that the argument you want to go with?
That is the argument I want to go with. I think Hunter Biden did wrong, but it's now being done by all the Trump children, and we ought to have a rule about nepotism in the United States.
I would agree with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So but what about all those patents that
Ivanka.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wrong on both sides,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, that's probably Hunter Biden's contract pales in comparison to the value of
But consider the chutzpah of Don Jr. Criticizing Biden.
I love that.
When
I
he's
know.
Doing it himself.
That is true, but Hunter Biden had no business being up there. Joe
no
Biden
question.
Should have known better.
Right.
No doubt. Come on.
I actually thought Hunter Biden was, I thought he was kind of compelling. I didn't come away from it thinking that he was like a bad human being or something. I thought it was kind of compelling the way
Rich, what was he doing up?
Hey, what are you going to do?
Son of a vice president who was going to run for president of the United States. Let's be honest. I'm a Joe Biden fan, and I have been, but I think it was a major error not to talk the kid out of that.
He's a father, too, and that's a troubled kid who's lost his mother, his brothers.
They've been through a lot.
Okay, so what does that mean, Rosemary?
It means that he didn't break the law. He was not strict enough or vigilant enough, but it makes me feel compassion, the same as Rich's.
Yeah, I didn't feel – and I will say the bigger story becomes then the process story about – how did the campaign not see this coming? How did the campaign, which you guys I know have talked about, how did you not have
You're
a prepared
exactly
response?
Right.
So, Rich, here's why. Because it had been examined. Atlantic Magazine, New York Times looked into it, and Hunter Biden came out of it clean. And Joe Biden. So why would they think that Trump would bring it up again?
But wouldn't, if you were advising, you would say, think of every bad thing this guy could say.
And that's a big problem with Biden, and he's going to be punished for that. He does not listen to advisors. He did this he was charged.
You hear that, Rosemary?
I know. Even Alan agrees with
me. Hey, McCain was the same way.
Biden has a weak spot on his children, and it has hurt. It's hurting him right now.
As we
he's
all
dropped
do.
In polls, and he's dropped in number, and it's a
well,
shame.
I thought he was up in the last
poll. So,
but
there's a false equivalency here. Constantly.
Yeah, but he's still leading in the polls.
You're holding the Democrats to one standard, and you're feigning outrage. I'm not saying you, Rich, but the other side feigns outrage constantly.
Right.
And we're the Democrats. I should stop saying that. The Democrats are held to a different standard, to a more lofty standard.
See, think it goes. It's funny. I guess it depends where you sit. We actually think it goes the other way. We feel like
we
the conservatives. probably the Republicans. We think if there had been a similar arrangement with Eric Trump, for example, you would have heard nothing but that for the entirety of the arrangement. And I understand where you're coming from as well. I think there's hypocrisy on both sides.
But this isn't an issue of the appearance of wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And that's a loftier standard than actually applying things like, or actually looking at things like Ivanka's patent deal and saying, well, if you're going to talk about Hunter Biden, where the hell is the discussion about Ivanka?
Right.
All right. Can we read another letter? Okay, this will be number four for the entire program. Hello, this was from Brian. Dear esteemed colleagues of the Roundtable, Johnson was impeached during a time when communications took place in hours with messages from D.C. to New York or days from New York to California. Nixon's era was in minutes. Remember the satellite phones of the Gulf War? This impeachment is happening in a media world where messages pass within seconds. We are not going too fast. And that is from Brian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we are going too fast. And the media world is definitely part of this. If Nixon had been in trouble at the same time as Trump is, I don't think he would have been facing impeachment. That all came about. All the deliberations were allowed to go. There were nightly newscasts. Mm. There wasn't 24/7 newscasts. I watch all of it. I'm getting bored. I'm hearing the same thing over and over again. And when we go to the Senate for the hearing, as it looks like we're going to the trial, we're going to hear all of it again. It's going to feel like old stuff. They have nothing new on him. We are like getting desensitized to what exactly he's charged with.
On the Nixon thing, they had the tapes. They had the proof. They had the anti-Semitic remarks. They had it all. You don't.
Charged with anti-Semitism.
But I actually think
there.
I think you have to start earlier on the Nixon thing. I think part of the Nixon thing that you had then, and I'm going to argue that you don't have now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll say this to you, Rosemary, because you're the expert. The investigative journalism that went into the Nixon investigation set the standard for journalistic investigations, right? I mean, it started with this break-in that nobody thought was anything.
And the police report
and then the former CIA people, and there was a lot of real true investigation.
Rich, I will remind you, however, that when Woodward and Bernstein were done, when their big exposés were all out, Nixon won in the biggest, at that time, election landslide ever. It did not happen. What really was different about Watergate was that there was a nexus of the press and the politicians actually investigating and digging into it.
And the cover-up.
And the cover-up, exactly, which was his biggest mistake. He should have just said, oh, my God, we made a horrible mistake, and I punished the people involved.
And both houses, by the way, in Democratic control.
Right, this one is from Wilbur. Wilbur writes, I highly respected partisan hack law professors with prepared answers. Off script, couldn't come up with the framers' concern with bribery, that the framers were concerned that the president could be bribed. One of the highly respected biased professors is on record for saying that Trump should be impeached because she didn't like him. Highly respected professors with nothing but an opinion, no facts. And that is from Wilbur.
Well, you know, I think that the woman, Pamela, help me with her name yesterday, Carlin. She is a brilliant woman. She is an amazing woman, and I really admire her, except I'm listening to her saying, oh, this is not going to go well. She was feisty. She answered back. She made a crack about Barron. You know, you can give him the name, but not the title.
That was just silly, wasn't it? It was gratuitous.
Anyone getting upset about that is silly, too.
Melania got very upset about it and put out a tweet.
Why isn't she upset about all the children who are starving around the world.
It was stupid.
It was stupid.
Well,
can I circle back
briefly on what Alan's point, correctly so, was during the Nixon time we had tapes, but what we didn't have was Fox News. We didn't have Twitter.
Right.
And there's a lot discussion now as to would Nixon have resigned and or been impeached in today's atmosphere.
Well, Geraldo Rivera wisely said that if Nixon had Fox, he would not have been impeached.
Okay. And Geraldo Rivera has never said anything
wise.
We do live in the world of echo chambers, and that is exactly the problem we are experiencing now. Even Ray agrees on that.
I agree. I didn't hear what you said because the echo was overpowering. I'm sorry.
Letter number five.
This is from Eric. Opinion, subject heading. Good morning, panel. Vera is right. When the Supreme Court renders an opinion, it's not the same thing as my holding an opinion. Mine doesn't count unless I'm on a jury where it might converge with other opinions to make a verdict. And that's from Eric in Richmond.
I'll tell him to read the Dred Scott opinion and see if that is actually a fact or an opinion.
This is from William, subject heading Catch 22. Do I have this right? Is Rich, here we go. Is Rich saying that the president can only be impeached if he has committed a crime, and the DOJ says that's impossible for the president to commit a crime? Yeah, Rich.
No, the DOJ, yes, first of all, it is, you should only be impeached for a crime, is my view under the Constitution. I'll defer to the constitutional scholars. And I will say that was everybody's view up until, you know, a couple of days ago. What the Justice Department is saying is, until you cannot charge the president while he or she is president, you must first impeach them and remove them from office, and that's the predicate for being able to charge them criminally.
All right, this one takes Dan to task. This is from Russ.
Nice.
Subject heading, dollar store remark. I can't believe I heard one of your esteemed panelists use the remark, the people who are shopping at the dollar store, these hearings are over their head and they're not paying attention. That remark not only seemed biased, it's insulting. And that's from Russ.
Well, I have something to say to Russ. I shop at the dollar store.
So do I.
I'm talking about people of low, and he's right that I shouldn't try to paint them with the same brush. But I'm saying that people who are working class people or people who have low income very often are not as engaged, and we know this, not as engaged on the political side as people who have higher education levels. Mm-hmm.
But that criticism of Dan's remark shows you what's going on in this world. You can't say anything without somebody finding something that you could pick on and make a complaint about. Mm-hmm. And vis-a-vis the Barron thing is. Did she have to say it? No. Was it the worst thing ever said? She didn't attack Barron, the young man.
But she should not have done it.
She should not have done it. Why should she not have done it? For the same reason that the person just criticized Dan for using the dollar store. You can't say anything without pissing somebody off.
Thanks,
Ira. But there's an implication. You have to follow the idea that you're there as an expert, and to take that kind of cheap shot from the Democratic side is really kind of stupid.
But it's not really. It was a clever remark that
clever.
I'm sure she's used in 100 classes.
Absolutely.
With no
yes.
problem.
Exactly. I'm sure that plays blind. It plays great in Stanford.
Yeah.
Right,
you know. And look at Melania's response, which was, this is an angry, upset one. I mean, she played to all the tropes
right.
against
really
women who speak.
You mean her PR person?
Yes,
yeah. exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, her English isn't good.
I would remind the panel,
that.
You know, we try not to say that, what Ira just said.
Yeah, I know. I slipped.
Yeah. I'm waiting
no,
for...
No, that was all right.
All right. I'm waiting for Melania to say something about Yemeni children being bombed to smithereens, children on the border being detained and separated from their parents
Correct.
For extended periods of time. How about some of those elements that
Correct.
Also affect children?
Okay, this one is from Tammy. Legal opinion of witnesses yesterday. Legal opinion is often resorting to consensus. 3 out of 4 scholars who testified yesterday were in agreement. Could the Republicans not find another to agree with the one scholar they provided as a witness? And that's from Tammy. Were they allowed
to? I think they were only allowed the one.
I thought they only got one.
Right. This
that
one
was
is from
deal. That's what happens
point,
when you're
point,
in the minority.
A point, by the way, that the president made very specifically. He said, they have 3, we have 1.
Well, they have they the majority.
Had a, they
the
had a good
the spoils.
One. They had a good one. And I think he was more effective, actually, than the,
I,
the other three.
I agree
three.
With you.
Especially when
you.
The when whoever it was said, raise your hand if you voted for Trump.
That was outrageous.
Okay, so talk about how many times do you beat your wife or whatever the trope is.
Right. I mean, yeah. Did they ask that as well?
No, they didn't.
They did.
That was their version of
but
it.
But Turley volunteered that he had not voted for Trump, which was very powerful.
Right, and somebody figured that out.
Exactly.
Somebody figured, okay, this is what you're going to say. And
the Democrats, again, were outplayed. Yeah. They
this
were outplayed.
Is from Anne, who wrote, I agree with Rosemary. Although I am blue, I listen to the hearings as a purple. I believe the Republicans made persuasive arguments for more fact-finding and a slower trajectory towards
yep.
impeachment. I was frustrated and distressed by the hearings. I also think Rich's statements were not misleading. He offered a sound description of legal opinion. And again, I am blue, believing Donald Trump is a mortal threat to our democracy. That's from Anne.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
This one's from John. Impeachment and crimes. Rich, first, I love that you are on. Careful, Rich, because
yeah, that's always the precursor.
Shoe's to... about to drop, brother. Here we go. You help educate the left on the opposition. That said, even the Republican attorney didn't say impeachment must have a crime as its basis. He said pretty clearly that if the facts established what the Democrats claim it does, then it's good cause for impeachment. I am concerned, though, as Rosemary alluded to, that Republicans won't get the hearing day they requested, and this will look like a railroad
yep.
instead of justice.
You know, we have mentioned it here, and Nancy Pelosi has made this central. Why is there a rush? It has something to do with we're going to run into election season. We're already right there. Why is there a rush to this whole proceeding?
What's the answer to that? I assume it's a political answer.
2020 election, maybe?
No, but...
Well,
but,
that's why
right,
can't
right.
you have the two running?
I think what they're deducing is that if this is playing out at the same time that we have the people running for office, that this will eclipse whatever it is that
Correct.
Whomever emerges as a candidate.
But what
and
else
then
do
they can be painted
they should
that way.
Be talking about.
Yeah, they've put all their chips, they've gone all in on this for the last, well, really for this entire Congress, I'll say, right? For, mm-hmm. you know, this whole group mm-hmm. of Congress that, you know, kind of took over. Their chips are in the middle of the table. I mean, I don't understand why you don't just ride this out. I agree. Politically, I feel like you got to keep just going with it.
I feel like all the candidates are sidelined because this is the real show. And I also think that the Democrats are right that you can have impeachment and do other stuff. They've passed a whole bunch of bills that are just sitting in the Senate because McConnell wants to make it look like you can't get anything done.
Yeah.
And it's a gambit, like all of politics, right? So we have a target-rich environment for the Republicans now because they can shoot at all these Democrats. They can shoot on impeachment. They can talk about all of how they're being victimized. And the Democrats are just focused on this one thing. So
right.
meanwhile, I mean, the RNC is going to town on their advertising and picking away at each of these candidates in whatever way that they find available. And again, we're looking at a very organized kind of onslaught and a very disorganized or opposition.
Well, maybe that's your answer then. Hearing that, and you know, we all agree Nancy Pelosi, you know, knows, you know, she knows policy, she knows this stuff backwards and forwards, right? On the politics side. Maybe she just figures, you know what, we've ridden this one as far as we can. Let's do it. Let's have mm-hmm. you know, four articles of impeachment. Yeah. We'll let some people vote. You know, some of them, they'll vote no. They'll mm-hmm. be able to take that back to their districts. The other vote mm-hmm. yes. Then we send it to the Senate, and then we're done.
Yeah.
Well,
we
it
have
is
an
interesting.
Election.
It is interesting that, that makes sense. It is interesting that the Republicans want it delayed, and I think that, and some of their other voices in other places. Mm-hmm. I think that. That's all you have to know. They want it delayed, right. And they are doing that from a political base. And I think Nancy Pelosi is right. Get it done and get it over with.
Yep, because what the Republicans are doing is what has been described many times as chumming the water. In other words, getting the sharks ready to take a good bite here and there, and then let's just see what happens. And that is what they want to bring into the next year, and I think it's really smart for the Democrats to wrap it up.
Yeah. I like this. We had a poker metaphor. All the chips are at the table. We got chumming the water. This is a very smart group. It's the Roundtable Panel. Dan Irizarry is here. Rich Honan is here. Ira Fussfeld, Vera Akirius-Kelly, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, and you, of course. The email address is panel@wamc.org. If you're just tuning in this morning, about 9 o'clock, Nancy Pelosi asked the House of Representatives to begin drafting impeachment articles against President Trump, saying the facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security. So that begins today, and the fireworks begin. We have a stack of letters a mile high, and we'll get to more of them. If you want to send one, hey, you might get one in. We got 20 minutes to go, but it's panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. We'll be back with more Roundtable Panel. They're taking a picture, and we'll be back in a moment.
Good fortune came ahead above the water. Mama wanted more for her only daughter. Some days I barely keep from going under. It's any wonder I don't, any wonder I don't.
That's the Boxcar Lilies. They'll be at Iron Horse Music Hall in Northampton tomorrow night, 7 p.m. iheg.com for more information on that. It's a roundtable panel. And we're down a couple now. Vera Akirius-Kelly and Dan Irizarry had to leave. They weren't necessarily offended. They had another thing going on.
Listen, Ray, this is the first time I've been on since you've extended the time. Yeah. I need some oxygen.
Okay.
It's a little longer than I'm geared
up for.
Okay,
well, we have a little extra.
All right.
I can still hear them yelling. They're outside.
Probably. Alan Shartok is here, and Rosemary Armeo as well. And then you heard Ira Fussfeld cracking wise. It's the Roundtable Panel. And, this is great. I asked for some emails that said Rich is a jerk, and subject heading, Rich is a jerk. Profoundly disappointed in Rich. He's playing a page from the Republican playbook. I'm just asking a question, but asking a specific question implies Warren for something. It seems like you're advocating starting investigation, not predicated on anything, but something that looks suspicious to you. That should not be how it works. Now, that was not the most perfectly proofread email in the world, but did you get the gist, Rich? Basically, you're a jerk.
Yeah, well, I got that part, and I got the part. I do agree. If what they're saying is just because we think something, not everything that we don't like warrants an investigation. I think if that's what they're saying, I agree with them.
I don't know. Said,
I also agree
Warren.
With Rich is a jerk. So give
oh
me
yeah,
a
you want
that
back? Yeah. There you go. You can keep that one for your files.
Right.
This one is from Lars. Lars writes, Republicans keep saying it was a political move to do the impeachment. However, I believe, and so do many others, that will actually hurt the Democrats. Democrats should make it clear that they have no choice to proceed in this politically dangerous act because Trump's actions were so bad. So the Democrats are actually acting against their political favor in pursuing impeachment. Let's go to our political observer, Alan Shartok.
I don't agree. I think they're doing exactly what the Constitution demands they do.
But they are doing that, though. They're saying, this is a solemn, sad, Nadler, saying this is we don't do this willingly. This is we're very sad and solemn about it. So they're actually saying that.
I know you don't have any opinions on this stuff as the moderator, and I'm
just telling
that.
You that.
And
the
I respect that, Ray.
All right.
I don't want to be called on it, but I have
oh,
to
you'll
say.
You'll get a call, believe me.
But I have to say, I really do believe that this is a little bit out of the queue. But I really do believe that Joe's decision to have Rich Honan on a regular basis as much as he can do, and mine to support that, is terribly important. And there are an awful lot of people, and you know where my politics are.
Right.
But there are an awful lot of people who call in and say, get him off of there. I don't want to hear him on my station. I hate that.
But I mean,
I think we have to have all sides.
We can all agree, though, that he's a jerk, though, right?
Yeah, we cannot.
All right. This one is from Julius. Opinion on justice. I'm disturbed by your statements on legal opinion. Is a judge's ruling an opinion? Is the decision of a jury an opinion? Where does fact enter? What then is justice?
The answer is yes. Opinion. When the court hands something down, what is it called? It's called an opinion. Am I wrong about that?
You're correct.
It's called a ruling too.
Well, yes, but it's called an opinion. The court handed down an opinion today on Plessy versus Ferguson, or this or that. It was an opinion.
Nice reference.
What can I say? And they were wrong in that one.
This one's from Neil and Wendell. It looks like Republicans are peddling the image of Trump, the crusader against corruption. The problem is that this is the man who single-handedly forced millions of Americans to learn what the word emolument means. I probably shouldn't be surprised that so many Republicans still support him. Republican hypocrisy has no bottom.
I think there's a lot of what I said when we started. I don't think it's any secret. There's a lot of Republicans who do not like Trump.
Let's see what Mitt Romney votes when this gets to the Senate.
And there's a lot of conservatives who don't like Trump. And I think a lot of them had to be convinced. And those who were convinced was mainly for self-preservation. But I think that what all this is doing is making them say, look, we don't like this guy any better, but these other guys are really starting to scare us. And in other words, I think if you look at a Congress run by Adam Schiff, I think that's something that is going to be scarier to the conservatives and the Republicans. And their vote might be more to prevent that than to really a support of Trump.
Well, and the Supreme Court, which we're seeing there's a lot of happiness about who's going on the Supreme Court. I want a moratorium on all of the past statements about impeachment because have you noticed whenever they did it yesterday on Nadler, here's what Nadler said about impeachment in the past. Here's what Lindsey Graham said about it. Everybody has said everything when you're a politician. It's a job that depends on what's happening right now. And I think all of that is ridiculous. It does. Things change.
I think they should constantly be reminded that vehemently in favor of this and now they're vehemently against it.
I agree with Rich. It is perfectly
Let them live with it.
It is perfectly acceptable to go back into somebody's history to show what you consider to be hypocrisy on either side. And there's plenty of it, that's for sure.
It is on both sides, though, and I think the truth is that this is political. It just proves, we asked that before, why is this political, not legal? That's it. In politics, the circumstances change. Well, you don't go to bedrock principle all the time.
But the net result of that is... this is why the public thinks so poorly of politicians.
There you go. Yeah.
Ira, you want to swear before the next letter?
I will try. Let me look up a good word.
All right. This one's from Martha. I saw in the news this morning that John Dean suggested that the House impeach but not send it on to the Senate, leaving Trump hanging. I think one of the points was that more info could come in and additional charges could be submitted. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is an interesting idea. I just heard this surface. I'm glad that the writer Martha wrote about that, that they impeach and then just let it hang.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that cool?
That's not a bad move.
Nice.
They have to give a reason. What they'd say is we're still gathering evidence and we've been stymied by the president's unwillingness to provide the witnesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Morning Joe this morning was advocating censuring. Would more Republicans come around to being censured?
Absolutely not.
Well, nothing would. it would have a net result only of giving him a black mark, but it would be a black mark that carries into the election.
And what makes you all think that in the Senate, you will have one more person saying, "Okay, I'm willing to censure the guy who has."
Well, you don't need it. It's just the House, isn't it?
No.
The idea is that you'd have a double House censure.
I think some Republicans might think it's more palatable because it won't result in him being removed from office.
And it would be seen as tricksterism.
Well, they did it on the West Wing, and it helped.
It would be seen as a trickster.
Well, I go back to what I said earlier. They need to be showing some leadership. There needs to be leadership. If in fact, deep in their hearts, they know that this guy is wrong, they need to stand up.
Ira, What makes you think there isn't leadership going on when they are proceeding and they go to the whole conference comes together and they say, we're going to do this? That's leadership, isn't it?
Which side are you talking about?
The Democrats.
No, I'm talking about the Republicans.
Well, look, Ira, place yourself into one of those people's, you know, constituency where they see 93% of the vote as the Republican voters in Republican red states where they are. They're not, you know, these people are selfish. They want to stay in office.
I understand that. But my point, as I tried to make it earlier and prefaced it by saying it was Pollyannish, is that the people who we elect to the Congress and to the Senate and to the White House are called leaders. They're our political leaders. And they, if they are any good, if they're worth their salt, they should be able to lead this country and move the people in their districts who may feel differently and show them where there's an error in their thinking. Now, well, is that going to happen? Very unlikely with this group of people and with this atmosphere. But I believe that's what the history of political leadership is in this country.
I'd like to think if they really thought something had been done that was that as wrong as you say, that they would take some kind of action. I'd like to think that. And so I agree with you there. I disagree on the facts. I don't think that they think that this rises to that level. I mean, I understand we disagree on that. I'd like to think, and there is some precedent for people speaking out against Trump, high-level Republicans speaking out against him when they feel like he's crossed the line.
All right. Well, that's why I asked if you believe that—
Lindsey Graham.
And what happened to Lindsey Graham? Speaking out against Trump, he's the biggest toady of them all.
No, wait a minute. A couple of months ago, when Trump took the people out of out of Eastern Syria, okay, and Lindsey Graham was up in arms about that, right? I mean, he spoke out strongly. Now, it was on a policy issue, so it didn't get a lot of play, right?
Because it got a lot of play, but he certainly
it was very strongly against that, and he used very strong language.
That's hard to pin him. I mean, last week he went out against Trump by saying Russia was meddling in the election. So he saw no evidence of Ukraine going entirely against John Kennedy and some of these other people.
Yeah, but that ain't the same thing, Ira, as holding up your hand and saying, let's get rid of this guy.
I don't think he wants to get rid of the guy. I think if he felt that way, he would say it. I think Lindsey Graham feels like he's kind of unassailable.
Lindsey Graham is another one who has said things in the past about impeachment that he's now completely contradicting. And he's also turned his back on Joe Biden, with whom he used to be and for a long time was very close. Yeah. He is not an honorable person.
Okay, this one is from Shelley. Shelley writes, love Rich unapologetically. Thank you for being present, Rich. A sheep among wolves. Smiley face emoji.
Oh, that makes
thank
us
you.
Wolves.
How?
Yeah, that describes him so well. He's a sheep among wolves.
This is from Rita. I trust
rarely
Nancy Pelosi. She has a brilliant sense of strategic timing. The impeachment hearings are fascinating. I'm glued to the screen.
You should you know, but that's interesting because Rosemary talked a little bit earlier about having watched, being glued to the screen and watching it during that time. But I don't think the average American watches all day long. I think they watch in bits
they get
and
sound
snatches.
Bites, yeah. Yes.
I think there are statistics that say the Fox News people are more likely to be on an extended amount of time, largely because they are older and may not have anywhere else to go.
You know, you could always listen to it on WAMC, by the way.
Yes,
just saying. This one is from Barbara. How many Republicans at each state level have left the Republican Party to enroll as independent or NOP? What is NOP?
I don't know.
Or heaven forbid, Democrat. Measure by state, because that is how electoral college is counted. And that's from Barbara, who's always listening. And thank you, Barbara. This one's from Joseph. At this point, I feel the Democrats will be... What?
Non-party? No party?
N-O-P. Yeah, we don't know.
Sorry.
Okay, we have to hear from you. What's N-O-P?
And by the way, the Republicans who disagreed strongly with Trump at the congressional level are now pretty much out of Congress. Right. It was the Congress led by Paul Ryan that was a terribly do-nothing Congress, and most of them are gone.
That's a point Alan has made several times about the ones
moving right along to the next letter.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is from Joseph. At this point, I feel the Democrats will be missing a very big opportunity to enforce the law of the land if they do not also charge Trump with obstruction, as he has, beyond anyone's reasonable doubt, obstructed the attempt to call witnesses to testify before the committees.
I agree, and I bet they do.
Oh,
I bet that's going
to
be an impeachment.
That goes to court. That's what Turley was talking about yesterday. That would have to go to court before it can be an obstruction.
That's also that one is really tough to me. And I look, obviously, I'm a Trump fan, and nobody else is. But even I'm trying to put that aside a little bit. If you're going to call defending yourself obstruction, if you're going to call an otherwise legitimate defense act obstruction, I think that's a really dangerous place to go.
Wait, Rich, you mean not allowing a subpoena to work? You're the lawyer by the House of Representatives. You think that's defense? No, that's obstruction.
No, I would say that it's within his prerogative to say, do not respond to this subpoena. And then there is a very well-known legal response to that, which is you make a motion to enforce the subpoena. Now, if the motion is then granted and it goes to the highest court and it's granted and then you don't comply, yes.
Is that not what happened in Watergate?
And how long will that take?
Why is there the rush? I agree with Rich on this, and it's the point that Turley made yesterday.
All right, this is maybe the last. We only have a minute here. This is from Kamar. I was quite disappointed that none of the Democratic representatives engaged with Turley's position that there's more information to investigate here, and you should. Republicans want to hear about, so far as we can understand, utterly baseless accusations of former Vice President Biden's sketchily purported impropriety. Some Democrats want to hear more from cabinet members. Why not do both? We have 10 seconds for a response.
I just wanted Turley to be asked, what would make you feel that the case was better than it is? What's missing that's not there? And no one ever asked that.
Rich,
the
I'll
Democrats
let you
didn't engage him at all.
You answer that question in 10 seconds, Rich.
I think what he would say is the commission of a well-articulated crime.
And that is where we will leave the program today. It was a huge, massive panel. There were like 17 people here when we started the show. Thanks to Alan Shartok, Dan Irizarry, Rich Honan, Vera Icarius-Kelly, Ira Fussfeld, Rosemary.
This is like Survivor.
There are many others, but it's just we're out of time, so goodbye.